Fanning, weekends on 2FM.
Now, earlier in the week, the Rolling Stones announced that they wouldn't be playing their 1971 hit, Brown Sugar, on their current tour, 50 years old. How come, is the question? Well, it has undoubtedly something to do with the song's lyrics, which, amongst other things, reference the horrors of slavery in the opening verse. Then again, Brown Sugar, with its so-called mishmash of nasty subject matters, has been a focus of controversy for 50 years. The Rolling Stones are not the first band of musicians to remove one of their hits from their set list. In fact, some of the biggest names in classic and contemporary pop and rock have at one point ditched their signature tunes for all kinds of reasons. So let's look at what happens when artists can no longer bring themselves to play the hits. And the man who knows it all is Chris Wasserman. He's here. Chris, how are you?
I'm very well, Dave. How are you?
Good. Brown Sugar, what are we doing there?
Well, we're talking about it, but the Stones aren't, and they've decided to remove it from their set list. They are back on tour, obviously without the late, great Charlie Watts in America, and the LA Times interviewed Keith Richards during the week, and they picked up on the fact that Brown Sugar was missing from the previous night's gig. And Keith Richards said, you know, look, oh, you noticed that. And he said, quote, "I'm trying to figure out with the sisters quite where the beef is. Didn't they understand this was a song about the horrors of slavery? But they're trying to bury it. At the moment, I don't want to get into conflicts with all of this beep." So, you know, Mick Jagger was saying himself that he's not really sure what the issue is, but they'll look into putting it back in at some stage. The issue is that for 50 years, ever since it was recorded and released, Brown Sugar has been the subject of controversy over its lyricism. I mean, some people think that it's a song about Marsha Hunt. Other people think that it's a song about Claudia Linair, both of whom had romantic involvement with Mick Jagger. I mean, he had a kid with Marsha Hunt. But it also does, in the opening verse, reference slavery. And then by the time you get to the end of the track, you're thinking, actually, is this more about heroin? Is it about sex? Is it about an anonymous African-American lover? You don't really know. But once you put the lyrics down on paper, if you actually take away the killer riff, the great groove, they are awful lyrics. Like, it is quite shocking that he can throw out stuff like, as he does in the opening verse, you know, Gold Coast slave ship bound for cotton fields, sold in the market down in New Orleans, skydog slaver knows he's doing all right, and then it gets worse. Once you actually remove the lyrics from the song, it is quite problematic, Dave. So it's no surprise that, yeah, it's actually a surprise that it's taken so long for them to remove it.
Keith's thing, though, what you say, "I'm trying to figure out with the sisters quite where the beef is."
It's so Keith, like that. Even the reaction, you think that he'd be a bit more subdued or careful about what he's saying there. But yeah, so for the time being, they have removed it. They never removed it before. I mean, even Mick Jagger says he doesn't really know what the song is about, and that he wrote it in the Australian outback when he was making Ned Kelly. So maybe he was high, maybe he didn't really know what he wanted to say in the song, but I think he was saying too much. And maybe it is time to...
Well, the horrors of slavery, if that's what Keith is saying, then, you know, I don't know, whatever, yeah. Okay, so Brown Sugar is gone. So, you know, is that the way we are these days? Is that what's going to happen with a lot of things? Yeah.
Potentially. I mean, so we've been looking into other acts and solo artists or bands that have removed songs from their set list. And also just, you know, I had a great time looking into just artists who don't like their biggest hits anymore, but they maybe some of them can't take it out of their set list. Like Katy Perry's breakthrough hit was I Kissed a Girl. And even at the time, it was quite problematic, not because of, you know, its depictions of you know, or the fact that she's saying I kissed a girl and I liked it, but because it was clearly, you know, a heterosexual woman craving attention and using this kind of, you know, plastic pop fantasy to you know, to get to the top of the charts.
That's a bit of a stretch there now, necessarily.
Oh, no, I don't think
it's
so.
It's up to you. I mean, if you want to be offended, you can be offended. You know, if you look hard enough, there's potential to cause offence and everything.
I agree with that, but I do think that maybe she was kind of, you know, taking something. She was maybe appropriating something that she shouldn't have. And she even says now, you know...
Whoa, she was appropriating something. And let's hear those next few words. That she shouldn't have, says Chris Wasser.
Oh, right.
Who the hell are you to say what she should or
that's
shouldn't
true.
Do?
That's true, yeah. I mean, but she has said that, like, you know, in the 10 years since that song came out, that she wishes she could, you know, rewrite it. And that maybe the conversation
you know, I don't
changed.
Know which is worse. The people apologising for all these things. Anyway, listen, I'll give you a blast. I kissed a girl just to try it. Oh my God. Okay, we'll never play it again.
Never play it again. Right. It doesn't help that it's a great song.
Chris Wasser's here. We're looking at stuff that the artists don't want to play again for whatever reason. And a lot of it is given into pressure from kind of...
Some of it is given into pressure. Other things like, you know, you've got some funny stories like, you know, Liam Gallagher. Obviously, he's going to be singing Wonderwall until he's 90. But he says that, you know, he hates it because Americans, you know, when he goes to America, some guys refer to him as Mr. Wonderwall, which I would pay to hear an American go up to Liam Gallagher and say, hey, Mr. Wonderwall. You've got
As in the wall of Trump's wall, is that it?
Wonderwall. It's not. Oh no, Wonderwall. We got our words crossed there, Dave. But you've got something then a little bit more serious, right? Than like Kiss the Girl, Foster the People, Pumped Up Kicks. That song.
That's
a bit tricky.
But was that not just about, you know, like massive school shooting things?
That's the thing. I read this great Q&A during the week with him, where he was speaking to Billboard, Mark Foster, that is, about how maybe he would like to retire the song. But in the interview, you basically told your song is about school shootings. It's not. At no point in the song does he reference, you know, a shooting in an American high school. It is about, you know, a teenager with homicidal thoughts. But it's more that, you know, once the song was released, what we did with it, what we thought when we heard of it, and that it kind of took on a life of its own. And yeah, maybe the song doesn't sit, like, they have performed it in some cities following school shootings, and he hasn't felt very comfortable about it. So you can totally understand him going, I don't really want to play this anymore, you know. So things like that are a little bit trickier.
Other
things,
here's a blast. Yeah. Hold on. All the other kids with the pump dug kicks. He's better off, better off. You know, sometimes I think, what was that great phrase that Prince, when he called off his gig in Dublin, said to Dennis Desmond of MCD?
He says, cats need to
tell
chill.
That cat to chill.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe a lot of people just need to chill. You
yeah.
know? Okay, moving on. You're obviously not going to agree with me totally, Chris.
Not on that one, no. Elton John has retired some songs before. He's even been joking earlier this year that he is currently on his Farewell tour. But not really.
Yeah, Rod Stewart's been slacking that. What's next? A 4-year Farewell tour?
Well, the thing is, it might turn into the 5 or 6 year. Yeah,
the pandemic.
Because didn't he hurt himself?
So, sorry, what's he getting rid of?
He would love to stop performing Crocodile Rock. And he says,
for what reason?
He said that he wrote it as something of a pastiche, like it's supposed to be a joke song, and that he hates the, you know, the la 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 lyric. He hates the tune at this stage.
Oh, right.
Which I don't really understand.
He hasn't culturally appropriated something that he shouldn't.
He hasn't. You're not going to let that go. He hasn't. But he does say that it's not his job at the minute or at any time to remove a song from a set list. Like, I'm here to entertain people. The fans love these songs. But at the same time, he did retire a song from a set list before for very different reasons. He, for about 14 years, I think, didn't perform Candle in the Wind, not even like the original version, because of, you know, the re-recording for Princess Diana's Funeral, the fact that it stayed at the top of the charts in America for a couple of months, here for about a month and a half. And he didn't like this constant reminder of his grief, basically.
All right. So, like, but contentious issue stuff like Katy Perry, the Rolling Stones, you're moving into an area now where they just want to not play their songs. That damn, so I can't have an argument with you now.
No,
can
you can't,
I? All right, okay, fair enough. Yeah, right, okay, fair enough.
I can understand him not wanting to sing that, but I still love it.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, he remembers when rock was young. Okay, so keep going. Yeah, where are you going next?
R.E.M.
I'm just waiting. Creep, is it?
No, R.E.M., Shiny Happy People.
Oh, yeah.
Recorded in 1991 at one stage, there is a tape out there. There is an unaired Friends pilot where Shiny Happy People was the official Friends theme. Then to be replaced by the Rembrandts, I'll Be There For You. But it's
a band whose first three letters are the same as that band you're talking about. R.E.M.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, you're blowing my mind in here today, Dave. the lads hated it. They created this, what I think is an absolutely perfect pop song, but they hated it. And Michael Stipe said, you know, it's a fruity pop song, it's for children. He said that if there was one song by the band that could be blasted into space to represent them, they would definitely not pick Shiny Happy People, which is a weird quote in itself. And in 1991, a few months only after its release, they said, we're not performing it live anymore. And they never did.
Wow. Okay. Well, I suppose, like, I kind of am glad it's gone in some ways because I just don't like it.
I love it. Love it.
That's Kate Pearson from the B-52s.
That is Kate Pearson, yeah.
All right, okay, R.E.M., Shiny Happy People. We're looking at bands who've got rid of songs that they just don't play anymore. Now, not necessarily always for really kind of controversial reasons, yeah. Just they don't like it, whatever. Where are you going with the next one?
We're going into artists who are maybe not happy that their songs were interpreted the way they wanted them to be.
Oh, yeah.
So we're talking about Beastie Boys. You got to fight for your right to party.
Fight for your right to party.
It was intended as a joke. It's supposed to be ironic. It is supposed to be making fun of bands like Motley Crue or, you know, Twisted Sister, or even, you know, the song Smoking in the Boys Room. Like, it's supposed to be this, you know, faux party, you know, attitude theme song, which is making fun of all the, you know, the frat boys who just want to party and listen to rock and roll. And after its release, and even if you watch the video, I don't know how anyone could watch that video. Where, you know, they're trashing the room. Rick Rubin's even in there at one stage, Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers, where they're having a party. I don't know how anyone could watch them throw pies at each other and think this is actually serious. But Mike D and Adam Yost, after the song was released, they thought, the joke is on the goofs that were slagging here. How did you think that this was a real party song? So they grew tired of it and they decided to retire the track in 1987. But every now and then, even for their final appearance as a trio in 2009, they just took it out to perform one more time, which I'm glad they did. But your teacher brings his class like you're some kind of jerk. You gotta fight for your right to party. The Beastie Boys, fight for your right to party. I was just thinking of what do you call them, like other things too. It's ironic when it happens that they want to get rid of songs they don't necessarily like. I mean, Chuck Berry, his only number one, My Ding-a-ling. Yeah. Oh well, I mean, it'd be okay if you wanted to get rid of that song, actually. Yeah,
absolutely. Okay, so go on. AC/DC, I think you mentioned.
AC/DC, this is actually a simple one. I mean, it's totally understandable. We're talking about one of the most famous rock songs of all time, and it hasn't been performed since 1979. So AC/DC is it's a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll.
I can't listen to that song without saying School of Rock. And sing Chris, I mean, what do you call him?
Look, at least they performed it there. Doesn't Jack Black and the Kids performed it there?
Jack Black, it's fantastic.
But it's Bon Scott's song. And it was last performed at the Hammersmith in London in 1979. Of course, Scott then died the following year.
Yeah.
And when Brian Johnson was brought in, I think maybe one of the first things he said to Laz was, I don't want to play that.
All right.
Out of respect. That's his. Let's move on from here.
Okay. I just can't see it without seeing Jack Black. It's absolutely brilliant, that movie. Yeah. It's so funny. Okay, go on.
Led Zeppelin, Stairway to Heaven. Yeah. Many times the Wayne's World, another great rock and roll movie, the Wayne's World scene springs to mind when Wayne goes out to buy the guitar, starts into Stairway, and the guy in the shop is saying, not in here, buddy. And that, you know, that might have been one of the reasons that Led Zeppelin grew to hate Stairway to Heaven. But for Robert Plant, whatever about Jimmy Page, Robert Plant didn't like his vocal work on Stairway to Heaven, and he didn't really, what we're listening to there is essentially a kid singing about all these fantastical things that, you know, later on as an adult, even in his late 20s or 30s, Robert Plant said, I don't really know what's happening there, and it gets a little bit tiresome after you know, night after night singing those lyrics, you know, hitting those notes. Loved the arrangement, loved Jimmy Page's guitar work, but after the song being just like a permanent staple of their encores for much of the 70s, in 77 they decided to just filter it out.
First time they ever played it was in Belfast, and the second time they ever played it, I was at the gig in the stadium in Dublin, but I was only really there for Led Zeppelin 3. I didn't know the song at all. If there's a bustle in your head, and it certainly wouldn't be in my top 50 Led Zeppelin songs.
It wouldn't, no, not at all, not mine. This sprinkly for the make queen. Yes, there are two paths you can go by, but in the long run,
That's pretty good though. When Jimmy comes in on the guitar.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's nothing wrong with Jimmy's work there.
Okay, so go on. Tell me what else is there.
Sinead O'Connor said in 2015, but has since gone back on this, that she wouldn't perform Nothing Compares to You anymore. And now maybe listeners are thinking, but I saw her do it on The Late Late Show. We did see her do it on The Late Late Show right before the pandemic, and it was a beautiful performance as well. And I'm glad that she's doing it. But for a while there, she put up a post on Facebook and said, the time has come for me to cease singing Nothing Compares to You, and talked about how the principles of her as a singer and in her training was that, you know, she only sang songs that she emotionally identified with.
Yeah.
And she had, you know, completely, she just stopped emotionally identifying with a song that was actually not,
well,
you know, as you know, not
back,
even written by her.
What a song.
You said, girl, you better try to have fun no matter what you do. But he's a fool, cause nothing compares. Nothing compares to you.
Bob Dylan, so he's next on our list for Hurricane. Very different story here, very different reasons for not playing the song anymore. Obviously, it's the Hurricane. And he hasn't actually performed, and he didn't perform the song much after it was recorded. He hasn't performed Hurricane since 1976. So obviously we're talking about the Reuben Carter protest song in support of Reuben Carter. And the reason
why... The
boxer who was sent to jail for murder in 1976, and he was overturned then in 1985, and then obviously turned into the film with Denzel Washington. But at the time, so you had Bob Dylan supporting Reuben Carter, you know, coming out and trying to, you know, say to the world that this guy had been racially profiled and framed, and an awful lot of, you know, he was so... this chap should not have gone to prison, basically. And in writing this song, told the story of, you know, from what he believed what happened to Reuben Carter. But once the label heard this, they started to say, some witnesses are not going to like that. Some people involved in this case are not going to like that. He had to change the lyrics. He was still threatened with legal action. It all just became a bit too much of a rigmarole, and he eventually stopped performing it.
Pistol shots ring out in a barroom night. Enter Betty Valentine from the upper. She sees a bartender in a pool of blood. Cries out, my God, they've killed them all. Here comes the story of the hurricane. The man the authorities came to blame for something that he never done. Put in a prison cell, but one time he could have been the champion of the world.
Next up we have Radiohead with Creep. Now, I think Radiohead, I think Tom York and Ed O'Brien are being a little bit too precious here. But obviously Creep was, you know, the song that made them, you know, alternative rock superstars overnight. Mm. But even at the time, even when they were touring it, so during the Pablo Honey era,
That's the first album.
They hated it 5 minutes after they recorded it. And I think they knew, this doesn't sound like anything else in their repertoire. This doesn't sound like anything else in the album. People are going to love it. And they didn't really like the fact that people loved it. I mean, Tom York, it got to the stage where even on that tour, people would request a song after, you know, they left it out for most of the gig. Yeah. And he would just say, F off, I'm tired of it. And it got to a stage again where even on the next record, even with OK Computer, so many journalists wanted to talk to him about, when's the next Creep? Where is the next Creep? Is there a song like that? And they would just get so frustrated. Yeah. So they hated it so much that they stopped performing it for 4 or 5 years. And now they take it out every now and then when they want to. They're having, I mean, I remember seeing them on the In Rainbows tour. It looked as though they just decided they're on the spot. Let's do it. It's a lovely night.
Absolutely.
Let's do it.
Well, it's a great song. I always think Morrissey, this should be a Morrissey song.
It should.
The lyrics are so Morrissey.
But I'm a creep.
Creep, that's Radiohead. Yeah, I think it's great. Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, so is there any more?
Billy Joel wrote Just the Way You Are about his first wife, who was also his business manager, Elizabeth Weber, and released it in 1977. Actually didn't like it when he wrote it. Took some convincing from the label and from his bandmates. Now, put this on the album. You know, it's a good thing he did. It sold millions. It won Grammy Awards for Record of the Year, Song of the Year. The only problem is that in 1982, himself and Elizabeth divorced. And he went on singing that song for another 4 years with even like his drummer, Liberty DeVito, who used to slag him backstage and even during the gigs and change the lyrics like, you know, she got the house, she got the car, right. You know, changing, yeah. Like just totally yeah. making fun of him. He eventually kind of said, right, that's it, not doing this anymore. And he retired the song in 1986. Now it has crept back into a set list over the last few years. But again, totally understandable. Imagine having to sing a song about your ex every single night.
Oh, I'll just say this is about somebody else now, Christine.
Oh, you could have done that, yeah. Yeah, that's, you know,
I saw a thing the other day, a statistic the other day about Billy Joel. Yeah. Has he seriously sold out Madison Square Gardens 100 times?
He has, more than any other act, yeah.
Wow.
I would not leave you in times of trouble. We never could have come this far. I took the good times, I'll take the bad times, I take you just the way you are.
Billy yeah. Joel, and from Billy Joel to somebody else who sold it out many times, Bruce Springsteen, born yeah. in the USA.
Born in the USA. I mean, I'm sure everyone knows this at this stage, that Born in the USA, it's not the big, you know, hell yeah, Team America, patriotic, go to all things red, blue and white. It's not. It's about, you know, the financial hardships of Vietnam veterans coming home, realizing that there's nothing for them, that they were sold, you know, a broken promise. And they he released this song, but the whole idea of it being this iconic or ironic, bombastic, yeah, even the video has looked as though it was celebrating America. Not about that. Apparently, he has said over the years, look, I wasn't quite annoyed by this, but I think he was. He was annoyed that the song was misinterpreted, that, you know, politicians would use it on their presidential campaign trails, that everyone thought it was yeah. something that it wasn't. That he had to have been annoyed because he started taking it out of a set list. And then when he would put it back in, it would sound completely different. He would perform it solo. When the E Street Band took a break, and then when they got back together around 99, 2000, it wasn't in the set list. And he's only performed it, I think, across two or three tours. Someone added up the amount of times that he performed it, and it was only about a dozen times. So clearly there is something there that he's not crazy about. And I've actually lost count of the number of times I've seen The Boss live, but only once have I ever seen him perform this.
Yeah, maybe he should just relax. Like, he's told people what the song is about. Move
need
on.
To
no?
Tell that cat to yeah. chill as well, Dave. Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. Chris Wasser, come on yourself, Chris.
FM.